Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together to talk about the latest Xbox news, rumors, and the games we've been playing lately. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show at questions@multiformpodcast.com, or you can follow the show on Twitter @multiformpod, or it's also @multiformpod on Facebook. This is episode 245. I'm Tim Shelton, and I'm joined this week by Spencer Rain.
Hello.
And Gus Harden.
Hello.
Who has to get up at 3:30 a.m., and we are recording this in the evening the night before, so he is a very tired boy.
Rest in peace.
No, I will be tired. I'm fine right now. I'll be tired in the morning.
Yeah. I didn't think you were going to show. You said you probably were out, and I took that to mean definitively, I'm not recording. I have to get up early, and here you are. You surprised me.
That's right. Now you're going to have to account for me every time I say unless I say I'm out, you never know.
And now every other time you say probably from here on out, I'm going to think there's a chance, and every time you won't show up. This was the one time. This was the one.
For three more years, I should say, actually.
Yeah. Okay. So, Gus, we'll start with you. It looks like you've been playing the usual, the Gus Harden special.
The trifecta, yes.
Of?
Marvel Snap, which this season is almost over.
I skipped this whole season because theme was dumb.
And then World of Warships Legends again makes up the bulk of my playtime. But I actually put a lot of Division 2. I think it was Friday night.
Have you tried? Oh, that new mode isn't out yet. Never mind. When that comes out, I do want to try that with
Which mode?
The roguelite mode where you start with no gear and you scavenge it as you play.
I think it is out.
Really? I'm going to Google that.
It either is, or I got a notification about it when I got into the game, something of like just about the game would like that. So maybe it isn't out yet, and they just had like an in-game notification about it, but it is something that will be coming out soon, if it isn't already. But I played a little bit of that just to check
it's coming
out.
This summer. It looks like okay. it was released to PC test server people on April 21st, but it's not coming till this summer. So yeah. You must have gotten a notification about it coming soon.
Yeah, probably. And it is different. It's a little bit, you can change your global difficulty now. And I don't know if that's like something that they put in after with the Warlords of DLC, or geez, the Warlords of DLC, the Warlords of New York DLC. And now, like, instead of having to do like two or three side missions that are attached to a certain control point to increase its alertness level, you can just set it so that it starts at level 3, which is what the level has to be able to get blueprints when you complete a control point. And man, so it was my first time doing that the other day, and where I moved it up to like challenging, which is like the second highest difficulty level in the game. And it starts the control points at level 3 because I was like, screw it, I don't want to do these extra things to make it a level 3 control point just so I can get these blueprints. And I did it, and it was like expected. And then a bunch of like the yellow health bar enemies like started like spawning in. I was like, what the heck is going on? And it turns out I was like, this is hard. I didn't die, but I was having to dodge a lot and do a bunch of other crap. And I found at the end that the reason why there were so many more of those yellow enemies is that a random elite resource convoy had stumbled onto the control point while I was doing it. So I was facing like three times the amount of elite enemies because of that. And I was like, I thought it was the difficulty. I was like, this is insane. I was like, the legendary enemies just keep spawning in. And I was like, I'm lowering the difficulty. But like that's what my thought process was while I was doing it, trying to not die. And then I finished it, and it said elite resource convoy intercepted. And I was like, well, that makes sense why this was so hard. But yes, that happened to me, and I was like kind of surprised. But it is nice being able to just set the level to 3 and to face enemies that are just like higher level than normal.
I was making good progress on Division 2 until all these new games started coming out and distracting me. I still have two more Warlords to go. Need to get back to that. Spencer, how about you? What's the latest on Hogwarts Legacy?
Yeah, I I finished it today before we recorded. Finally, it feels like I've been playing this game forever, which is really just like two straight months of primarily playing it. When I load the save up, it says I have 38 hours in the save, but then on the Xbox app, it says I have like 46 hours. So actually, sorry, 52 hours and 42 minutes. So I don't, it's probably somewhere in the middle. I assume the in-game clock probably just is like gameplay, and maybe some of those hours are pause screen or just menus would be my guess, but I don't know. Yeah, so I finished it. Good game. Definitely high quality game. Story was kind of interesting, I guess. The kind of like the flashbacks, if you will, not really flashbacks, but the memories that you view of characters that are kind of helping you along the story. That part of the storyline was the most interesting. Cause like the villain is whatever, like it's a goblin. So it's like kind of silly, hard to take him seriously. Cause you know, he's like 3 feet tall, but, yeah. But the combat's really good once you get used to it. It's definitely a game where if you were to stop, I could see, like, if you stopped for like a week, it would be very difficult, especially if you're further in the game, later in the game, where enemies are better and more capable. But yeah, it's a really good game. My only complaint, I guess, would be I think some of the facial animations for your character are pretty bad, which... that's probably because it's a game where you make your character, so it's hard for them to kind of plan for that. That's why I was like, I forget what game we were talking about where you have a set character. I think it was that magic game, that third person magic game or first person magic game that we talked Avium. About a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Whatever of Avium.
Yeah. That game where I was like, well, having a set character is kind of nice because the facial animations are going to be a lot better. But yeah, I mean, traversal with like your broom is amazing. It's so much fun. Traversal with mounts is kind of cool. I got like a different one. I had the hippogriff, which we talked about was, you know, the eagle horse combo thing with wings. But then I got another one at the end of the campaign today. That was kind of interesting. Complete opposite type of creature, which was kind of neat. But
is there an end game or is it strictly story? So like once you're done, you're done.
No, you can keep playing after you finish the story, because once you finish the story, it's kind of like the spring semester is starting, and so it's like, hey, you got to prepare for like the end of the school year. You can in the games, like you can keep doing these quests and side missions and things that you haven't done yet, and then once you're ready, then you can go do like the house cup ceremony, which I did because I was finished with everything, and that's like the end of the school year where you get your house wins and you get the house cup for that school year. But the game still lets you play after that too. So it's kind of like an epilogue to an epilogue, but it doesn't prevent you from keeping playing. And obviously like I haven't 100%ed all the dungeons and, I've got like 75% done on the challenges, which I'm not going to do any more of them just because like I'm on like the last tier of everything. And some of the stuff it like requires a lot for you to do. There's really no reason for me to do it other than if I just wanted to 100 say I 100%. I mean, there's an achievement tied to it, but like, I don't care enough to, cause it would be quite a bit more work, probably another 10 hours probably if I had to guess. But yeah, I mean, I think I talked about this before, but like the cosmetics in this game, perfect way to do it. Like if you're going to have drops be somewhat constant when you go into dungeons and when you're doing missions, like allow you to, make it to where if you get better equipment, you can equip it, but then transmog it so you can make it look like what you were just wearing if you preferred that, or other things that you unlock. So like I was constantly changing my appearance from that perspective where I was getting better stuff, and not constantly, like a lot of times I would stick with stuff for a little bit because I liked how it looked. And in this game, you have 6 pieces of customizable outfit. So each one of those things can be changed. And obviously there are sets and there are things that go together or that look similar, but you can obviously mix and match, which was kind of what I was doing. But yeah, I mean, that's the way I feel like games have got to do it. If they're going to have it be where every time you go into a dungeon, every time you do a mission, you pick up, you know, half a dozen, 10 clothing items, because it's just annoying if you're constantly or I wasn't constantly, but you know, frequently getting better equipment, and I was like, well, I don't like how this looks, but I can change it to what I was just wearing, and because I like that stuff. So
there's good and bad ways to implement that, though, because here's three examples. Horizon Forbidden West, you can equip whatever you want for stats, and then you can go to a separate item and say equip for visual and hit a different button.
So that's convoluted. Then
hang on, though. So it's easy because like you click on the one you want for stats and it doesn't change what you look like. Because they're independently set. You hit X.
Oh, that's actually kind of cool. Never mind, I lied.
I think you hit square to equip it or to make it visual and X to make it the stats. But basically you can select two different slots, but there aren't slots. So that's the best in my opinion. Second option.
Yeah, I agree.
This is the worst option for transmog besides not having it. Destiny. You have all these different slots, right? Your helmet, your gauntlets, your boots, your chest, your guns. You can hit transmog, but you have to transmog each individual item. And then when you get a new item that slots over that one, you then have to retransmog that new one to look like whatever it was before. So like it constantly is overriding it and you have to constantly keep transmogging each and every item. So let's say you run a raid or a strike and you get some new stuff, you equip it to get better stats. You then have to go retransmog every single item because it doesn't just magically override it. Like you don't set your visual and your stats separately. Now the halfway point is Assassin's Creed Odyssey did it the good way. Assassin's Creed Valhalla does it not quite as good way because you have to go to a vendor to do your transmog, so which is stupid. Annoying.
Like it makes no sense. Like what
the last game did it well. Like why did you make it worse? Well,
not only that, but just like what's the thought process of, oh yeah, let's make our players go to a shop in the game, pay like a minute amount of gold so it doesn't even matter to change the appearance of their armor to something that they actually like. Like it's just dumb.
The only reason I could think of, well, actually, Assassin's Creed doesn't. If you were trying to loot it in lore and have it be an actual thing in the world that happens, that would make sense. Yeah. But it doesn't make sense in Assassin's Creed because you're inside of a video game, the Animus, where you should be able to have any avatar you want.
Yeah,
because it's a computer program.
Worse for a game like Assassin's Creed because you're literally a computer program within a computer program.
Yeah, it's narratively they can explain away anything they want, and they sometimes still. But well, anyway. Transmog, those are the spectrum of good to bad.
And Hogwarts is kind of, it's not as good as Forbidden West, but it's better than anything else you mentioned because you select your item hitting A, and then when you back out to the menu where you see your character with the slots with the armor in it, you hit X on anyone and pops up another menu of all the appearances you've unlocked. So I've got like dozens and dozens of appearances for each clothing item or equipment item. And so I can just kind of cycle through it all. And there's a lot of really cool stuff. That's another thing they nailed.
Wasn't
too.
That Assassin's Creed Odyssey? Wasn't that how they did it?
Similar.
It
just had exactly. Yeah. Very similar to Odyssey.
I thought that way was fine.
It
worked great.
Yeah. I think that's a really great way of doing it. If you're going to have games like these where you have to, for whatever reason, create dozens of armor types or equipment types, it's not like the olden days or like Skyrim where there's like, and not, you know, counting light armor, heavy armor, there's like 20 sets of armor. They're just different levels of enchantment and such like that. Whereas like in Hogwarts or Destiny or Assassin's Creed, there's literally dozens. If you're going to do that, you have to make it like either you're just describing with Horizon or in Hogwarts, I think. So they nailed that too. The magic works really well. I was skeptical. I was confused on like how they were going to be able to get that, pull that off, make it feel fun and not like, kind of janky, because if you think about it, there really isn't a game like this where you're, because I'm trying to think, like there really isn't like a third person. I mean, I guess it's just like a third person shooter, but
well, it feels like we're about to go through a renaissance of magic based games because we're about to have that whatever of Avium. We have what's the one that Microsoft's Avowed. Working on, Avowed. And then there's some other one.
Plus Fable sometimes kind of has magic.
Yeah, you know, just a lot of, well, Fables is, it's still it's magic, different. But you're right. It's a little simplified, but like magic as a weapon instead of guns or melee.
Well, Avowed, you can have swords, at least from the gameplay that we saw 17 years ago.
Yeah, that's true. But
previews we saw a million years ago.
And it's, I don't know that is it Immortal? I think it's Immortals of Avium. That is like magic in place of guns. They're basically guns, but magic. But
So I guess like I said, the story was whatever. I think it was kind of cool. There's some interesting characters. It was kind of weird. The one thing, the only other issue, I guess, was some of the story or some of the missions requests didn't really feel consequential. Like where I, when I learned the forbidden or not the forbidden, the, what are they called? The curses, the ones that are bad. I forget what they're called. Why can I not remember?
Have never seen a Hogwarts or
the forbidden, not the forbidden curses, but the, whatever. Like there's three of these curses you learn. Crucio, which basically makes people feel like they're being tortured constantly for the extent of this, of the curse. Imperio, which allows you to take control of whatever it is that you cast it on. And then Avada Kedavra, which is the insta-kill curse. And they make it seem, and that's like the dark arts, right? So they make it seem like those are really bad and like only bad wizards learn those curses. But you learn them through the course of the storyline with one of the side characters. One of the like three main side quests, paths you can do, almost like loyalty quest lines essentially, but there's no like loyalty to be earned. It's just kind of like, this is your friend and you're just doing stuff with them. And you use them, but aside from like occasional dialogue, like some people will be like, oh, I see you're not afraid of the dark arts, or like, I can't believe you cast that curse, like stuff like that. There's like no real consequences. And I don't know. I just thought that was kind of interesting. And like a character like murders somebody and it's kind of like you can decide like to turn them in or not. And if you don't turn them in, which is what I did, they're like, well, he'll just live with the guilt and that'll be enough type of a thing. And I don't know. It's stuff like that where it's like, on the one hand, people are like, oh, unforgivable curses. That's what they are. They're like, if you use this type of magic, like you're a terrible person. But then when you use it, like no one actually cares. There's no real like consequences in the game. There's no like morality system. And so I was like, you know, popping dudes off with Avada Kedavra because I was like, well, might as well insta kill on these guys. It's kind of annoying though, because like if they're too powerful of an enemy and you cast it on them, it doesn't do anything. Like, it doesn't even take their health down or anything. It just doesn't do anything, which is kind of weird. But it's cool. I mean, obviously like there's memes of, Voldemort, you know, saying how he like really ridiculously like yells Avada Kedavra in the movies. But yeah, it was cool. I mean, like the kind of the, there's like two kind of plots. There's the rebellion, like the Goblin Rebellion, who's like the villain of the story. And then it kind of intersects with the kind of memories that you're viewing, that plot. Cause it turns out at the end, he's like trying to get to what those people were experiencing in the memories. And when you get to that point, it's interesting, but I would say like the main story is just kind of like whatever. I mean, I guess if you're like a big Harry Potter person and you're like all about the lore and things like that, you'd be into it. But I think this game is more about the gameplay, the open world. Hogwarts itself, like the actual Hogwarts castle, is amazing at first. Like you get used to it and you kind of figure things out, but like the first several hours that you're in there and doing, exploring essentially and doing side quests and things in there, it's really, really cool. Like it's one of the best, most realized maps I've ever experienced. Like it, they did an incredible job with it. So yeah, for somebody who's not really a Harry Potter person, like I've seen the movies once all the way through, like all nine of them, that's it. No other connection, never read a book, haven't watched one in probably 10 years. Solid game. Definitely would recommend it. I liked it a lot. I'm not going to play through it again just because I don't have time. But like I said, I don't really need to experience it again, I would say. But there's lots to like here, I would say for sure. But yeah, that's cool. Pretty much all I did of interest.
Before I go into mine, I'm going to stop for a second really quick, and this will transition immediately for the audience, but I'm going to stop the recording, Spencer, so we can restart your mic, because I thought it was just me, but I think it is picking up on the recording, a little distortion on your mic. So we'll fix that really quick and we'll be right back. And like I said, it's instant for the audience and it should be fixed. Spencer.
Yes. Hello. How do I sound? Hello. I don't know what happened.
You sound great. You're handsome. You're beautiful. I don't know. It just sounded a little static. It was like a distortion, but a little staticky. It wasn't incomprehensible, so it was tolerable, but I thought it was on my end, and I'm using some cheap earbuds. I have headphones that are nice, but for some reason, when I record podcasts, I just like simple earbuds. So I thought maybe it was me, but it wasn't. Okay, so me. I have a couple things this week. First, I finished Horizon Forbidden West, Burning Shores. I'm at 98% completion on like all side content and achievements or trophies, but I don't know that I'm going to do. I have two trophies left, and I already have the platinum on the base game. The last two trophies I have are a little bit of a grind, just like I think I need to, not a grind, I need to kill five enemies while hovering and something else that is a very specific scenario. And it's just like, I don't know that I care to do this. But I really love Horizon Forbidden West. It was my favorite game last year. The DLC was more of an amazing game, only it was PS5 only, so it had even better graphics, if that was possible. I maintain this is probably my favorite game so far this generation for Xbox or PlayStation, and it's probably one of the best looking games ever made. That is probably overselling it a little bit, but it's a PlayStation 5 game, and this is mostly an Xbox show, so I will move on. I also played Forza Horizon 5 because they launched a new performance update, and the first new car that is in the playlist was the Huracan STO. So I unlocked that to mess around with. Didn't take too long. It's just the 20.1, so pretty easy to unlock. And then we got a new TV for my wife so that she could watch TV in our bedroom. She likes to lay in the bed during the day on the weekends and like surf the internet on her phone or on her tablet and then have the TV on. And she prefers to lay down rather than like watch from the couch. So we got a new TV. The TV we ended up going with was one of the newer Samsungs. It was a pretty entry level model because this is a small bedroom TV. But the reason I bring this up is it had Xbox Cloud and NVIDIA Cloud and Amazon Luna built into the TV. So I synced one of my Xbox controllers to the TV, and I tried to do the Xbox Cloud Game Pass thing because I was going to play Forza Horizon 5 in the bedroom and see if it worked. I don't know if it's because I bought like the lowest end Samsung that you could get that still supports Xbox Cloud, or if it was the distance from my router, which I didn't think would be an issue, but it was so choppy that it was unplayable. Like the game, the audio was like cutting out, and the video was a little warbly. So I ended up just deleting it. I mean, I already have like 20 things that can play Xbox in this house, so I didn't really need another, but it would have been cool if it worked. And again, I think it was because this was like the lowest end QLED TV you can get from Samsung. So the processor probably wasn't that great. The Wi-Fi card probably wasn't that great. It's great as a smart TV for a bedroom, but it really isn't a gaming TV. It didn't even have good gaming features. I would never like use it for my Series X or anything like that. So that's just kind of a random anecdote. And then the real thing this week is I rushed to finish as much as I could of Horizon Forbidden West because Star Wars Jedi Survivor came out on Saturday or Friday, and I've been playing that, and it's great. Obviously, there's been a lot of blowback about the PC port being pretty bad, but the console port doesn't seem terrible. I know they're working on the first patch already, but the only issues I've noticed with performance is a little bit of a stutter occasionally when I transition from gameplay to a cinematic, but doesn't break the gameplay at all or the experience. It just kind of judders for literally 1 second, and it is, you know, not really that much of a big deal. The only thing is I feel like it's the graphics. I'm playing on performance mode with the 60 FPS, which drops the resolution down to 1440p, but it's dynamic if, you know, it needs to go down even lower. And I feel like it's a little bit smudgy at times. Not like bad, but like it just doesn't look as good and crisp as other games from other high profile studios. I mean, it's still a good looking game, and it's very much Star Wars. Very cool. I love the game. It has all the satisfaction that the first game had. The only thing I said, do you guys remember what was the one thing I said they should not bring back from the first game that I said I hated?
No, I don't remember. I remember you saying something, but I don't remember what you said.
Those long sliding segments.
Oh, did they bring those back?
Well, I haven't gotten to a part where there's a long sliding segment, but in just Coruscant, which is the first, like, I don't know if you'd call it the tutorial world, but it's the first world. I've experienced at least two or three places where I have to slide. The only difference is these all seem to be like a linear slides, like a Tomb Raider game where you have to like slide down something and then jump before the end to catch something so you don't die. Not like the first game where you have to like dodge things going down a slip and slide, turning left and right. But it does scare me that that mechanic is still in the game because I don't want to get five more levels in and then get more of those annoying slides that block my progress. But it's tolerable if it's just these like slide down a hill and jump at the end to grab something. But it was hyped up a lot in the interviews before the game came out that like they don't depower you from the first game. So like all the stuff you unlock in the first game is still with you at the start of the second game. Now you can't just use it as soon as the game starts, but it basically uses the tutorial to reintroduce you to all of your abilities that you had in the first game. So within a, you know, like an hour, you have basically everything you had at the end of the first game and then more, because things like wall running and double jumping and I'm trying to think of other things, being able to like block, spin a dual lightsaber to block gunfire and shoot it back at someone, all kinds of stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. I think if my memory serves correctly, I've already got my first new ability, which is kind of like a grappling hook type thing. And I got that within the first hour of the game. And I'm not really even into the like real meat of the story yet. You know, I'm a couple hours in and there's, you know, little things being strewn about what the plot's going to be about. But like, it's not like I have a central villain or objective. Like right now it's kind of still setting the stage for the world, but I love it. I'm not trying to rush through the game. I want to take my time with it. I really like exploring all the nooks and crannies, and I really like the Metroidvania aspect of this where like, you'll find areas you can't get to that you'll have to come back later with a different ability or things like that. And then, so yeah, I don't know. I have nothing negative to say about it. Like I said, the only issue I've had is that one little hitching I had, a little bit of stutter between gameplay and cinematic, and that only happens some of the time. And I'm running the preload code. There hasn't been like a week one patch or anything like that. So I look forward to talking about that more in the weeks to come. And with that, I want to go straight into the news because there was some big news this week, which is that the British government regulatory body, the CMA, has blocked the Activision Blizzard acquisition by Microsoft. What's weird is this was being blocked not because of Call of Duty, which was obviously the conversation for the last months and months and months. It's being blocked because of cloud gaming. So here's a couple quotes. The CMA has prevented Microsoft's proposed purchase of Activision over concerns the deal would alter the future of the fast-growing cloud gaming market, leading to reduced innovation and less choice for UK gamers over the years to come. End quote. Here's another quote. Microsoft has a strong position in cloud gaming services, and evidence available to the CMA shows that Microsoft would find it commercially beneficial to make Activision games exclusive to its own cloud gaming service. So, also this week, Ukraine's anti-monopoly committee approved the deal. And our next story is going to talk about yet another 10-year deal for Microsoft with a cloud gaming platform in Spain, called Enware. So I don't know where I come down on this because I don't have all the facts, but I think it's interesting because Stadia couldn't be successful. Luna isn't exactly lighting the world on fire. Even Xbox's cloud gaming initiative isn't really that popular. It's a side benefit of Game Pass. And they've signed all these 10-year deals to make their games exclusive, you know, available on other cloud gaming platforms, at least three or four of them. So they're going to appeal. And I said on Twitter that my take is that this is still going to go through and they will concede whatever they need to. Maybe lock game prices for a certain amount of time, like 10 years or something, or 5 years, who knows what, because Microsoft has that $3 billion out clause that they have to pay Activision if the deal doesn't go through. So any remedy that costs less than $3 billion will save Microsoft money. So if they need to lock prices for a certain amount of years, well, is that going to cost more or less than $3 billion? So I think there's a lot of reasons for them to concede or do whatever's in their power and then some to make this deal go through. Even Nvidia, with their cloud streaming service, who has a 10-year deal with Microsoft, came out after the deal was shut down by the UK government and said, no, we support the deal. We don't understand this. So, Spencer, let me go to you first. What was your take on this? What opinions do you have about the future of this, whether it goes through, and about whether or not the UK is right?
Yeah, it to me, it doesn't really make a ton of sense, just because, like, they're worried about cloud, like Microsoft having a monopoly on cloud gaming, when, like, there's so much more to this than just that. And it doesn't, like, I don't understand, like, what are they seeing that these other bodies that have been approving it, you know, don't see, I guess. I mean, obviously the FTC is still also being kind of annoying. I don't know. From what I understand, like, the UK is kind of, they're prone to overregulate and kind of overcorrect in that sense. Like, I guess that they would rather be safe than sorry from that perspective. That's just kind of how their government works. But
do you know if they wanted to force this through and every regulatory body approved it but the UK, could they go through if they just didn't do business in the UK? But they would have to cease all Microsoft operations, right? Which is,
well, I mean, I don't know if they'd have to cease all Microsoft stuff, but they would have to do something probably Xbox related. But I guess, I don't know. That's a good question.
Which obviously none of that's going to happen. They're going to try remedies and appealing first. But it's also going to make the UK look bad if every other regulatory body in the world, which we don't know what's happening in the European Union or the USA yet. Those will be the two to look at. Did Japan already approve it?
I don't know, but I mean, you said the Ukraine's body approved it, which is incredible. Like, first of all, they're like, I mean, it makes sense. You know, you want your government to continue functioning in every respect for obvious reasons, even when you're at war. But I think it's funny that they approved it. They approved it. I know, like, either South Korea, Japan, Australia, somebody over there, a couple of those did.
Japan did approve it on March 29th.
So, like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, if anything, all of these deals they're signing with various partners will help more companies because they're going to have a deeper catalog. Like, the agreements with, like, NVIDIA and Nintendo, like, it just, like, it makes no sense.
I'm glad you brought that one up. The Nintendo one. Did you see what they said about Nintendo? They said, we do not believe Microsoft when they say they can put Call of Duty on the Nintendo Switch. We do not see a path forward for that. And I'm like, Witcher 3 is on Stadia, or I'm not Stadia, Switch. Like, if you dial the resolution down, pull back the draw distance, like, or there are other games that are streamed on the console, which you obviously wouldn't do with Call of Duty, but, like, you can fit anything on anything if you tailor it down enough. Like, you could put Call of Duty on phones. It's literally on phones now. Like, it's not the same exact game, but you could do feature parity and just have the graphics scale way down for Switch. It would work.
Yeah, but, like,
there's no reason. Call of Duty doesn't have, like, great CPU usage or anything.
Yeah, I think it's, like, I think the reaction has been pretty appropriate. Like, Microsoft's president basically went after them and said, it's, like, this was, like, the worst day in our 40-year history in the UK. Like, our worst day in the UK in 40 years. But, like, it just makes no sense. Like, did they employ, I mean, they must have employed people that told them this, because, like, I assume when they're regulating other types of deals, like, they get experts that they consult with that tell them one way or one thing or the other as far as the viability or the competitiveness of a deal. Because I just find it so funny when organizations or lawyers talk about video games from this perspective, when none of them have any idea what they're talking about. They just, like, looked at data and they're like, oh, the data said this. So, and they just throw out words.
Yeah. And it's also, like, what part of what they're talking about is, like, Microsoft, Amazon, and Google are the three largest players in cloud data center services, mm-hmm. right? That's and they're worried about the competitiveness of cloud as this ethereal, like, all-encompassing term. Cloud gaming is not the same as cloud server infrastructure. Like, yes, Microsoft and Google and Amazon have data centers everywhere. Yeah. That is a piece of it. But the technology that gets a game from there to the console or box or TV or whatever with the lowest latency, that is what is valuable, not the data centers. Lots of people have data centers. Google couldn't do this with Stadia. They literally just failed in the cloud space, and that was Google.
Yeah.
And Microsoft is signing all these 10-year deals. Like, the whole thing doesn't make any sense.
All these cloud people, I don't know what you call them, cloud gaming providers, they're all coming out saying like, well, no, we want this to happen. Like, this actually will help us. This will create more investment opportunities and just more opportunities in general to partner with Microsoft. Like, this hurts us. So I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think the UK, the way that they're a lot of their regulatory bodies first is kind of like shoot first and ask questions later. Like, let's be overly aggressive and protectionist first, and then we'll pick up the pieces later. So from that perspective, I guess it doesn't really surprise me. I mean, similarly with the FTC, like, it seems like they're avoiding certain facts and only talking about the handful of facts that support them. So that's kind of like the situation in the UK, where it's like they're ignoring all of the facts and only talking about small smidgets of them. Or maybe Sony bribed them. Who knows? Wouldn't surprise me either.
The one thing that no one is talking about, that no one has asked these, at least publicly, is I wonder what games Activision has in development that we don't know exist. New IPs, maybe, that Microsoft has seen or knows they're investing in, and they've made all these deals to say we're going to put Call of Duty all these places and Call of Duty will stay multi-platform. But who's to say if they have some big new franchise that they've been working on for, you know, 5 or 10 years that is a few years out, that then is going to become an Xbox exclusive? Like, there could be more to this, you know, like I know they want mobile, and Call of Duty obviously prints money, but if you're just buying this for mobile and Call of Duty, it doesn't really seem worth it to me. Like, Xbox needs games, and they need exclusive games. So you'd really hope that besides the mobile piece, there are also some stuff behind the scenes. And none of the regulators are asking them about that. They're all asking about Call of Duty. But what happens to all the other Activision games? Like, they could just lock all those up if they wanted to. They're not going to, because it would look bad and they are having a hard time getting this deal through. But Microsoft also does have a pretty bad history of acquisitions, you know, like buying things and shutting them down, buying things and ruining them, buying things and then kind of messing the market up for that thing. I mean, obviously Skype was pretty bad after the Microsoft acquisition. LinkedIn wasn't a super popular one either. I mean, all these things are fine now, but like, Skype usage is definitely lower now than it used to be. And is that because the market changed, or is that because Microsoft bought them and the product got worse? It's probably a combination of both.
Yeah, that was...
And it's not the first time Microsoft's been in front of anti-competition regulators worldwide for buying something. Yeah,
that was kind of the other side of the coin for me too this week. I was like, well, maybe now they can focus more on their own house, but it doesn't seem like that's really going to be the way forward for them. They definitely want to fight this and appeal it. Fight it, appeal it, whatever. Kind of regroup and keep pushing, just because obviously there's a lot of money at stake. The like $3 billion, not buyout, but if they have to back out of the deal, break fee
yeah. I think is what it's called.
I don't know. I mean,
yeah. And Sony, in their quarterly results, so I try not to talk about quarterly results for Microsoft or Sony in our show unless it's the annual results for the full year, because quarter over quarter is kind of boring and that's not really what this show is about. But in Sony's quarterly filing, they did note that they're looking at more acquisitions for PlayStation. So there is a potential that we continue this arms race, that Sony is looking at more acquisitions, and they've looked at more in the small to medium space, or partners that they've worked with, or things that give them opportunity. Like, they just bought another studio that was another one of those upstarts, right? Where some people broke off of Sledgehammer Games and formed a new studio, and now they've been acquired by PlayStation. And a lot of talent is being gobbled up, and it's only a matter of time before, I mean, Ubisoft isn't on the best footing. people are throwing around things like Sega, Warner Brothers, and Square Enix, which I'm not sure if any of the three of those is actually going to be a good acquisition target, especially when Sony's already getting all of the premium stuff for their console for free exclusive, just because they don't want to publish it on Xbox, or not all of it for free, but you know, Final Fantasy VII isn't on Xbox. It's not like they had to own them for that to happen. So I don't know. The whole thing's a mess. I maintain, I don't care. Like, the only benefit that we as gamers really get that we know about is that a bunch of games are going to come to Game Pass that didn't before. And otherwise, I hope there's some exclusive games, or at least big games, that get greenlit under the Activision umbrella that wouldn't have otherwise, because it seems like this whole squad at Activision Blizzard, they basically have Overwatch, Diablo, World of Warcraft, Call of Duty, and then a couple of, you know, their mobile and PC products, and that's it. And the stuff like Spyro and Crash and Tony Hawk and like all that stuff seems to have really become few and far between. And so they've taken a lot less risks in the last 10 years, and it sucks. But anyway, any final thoughts, Gus? You've been pretty quiet. Anything you want to add about the acquisition talks?
I don't know. I just wish I understood the global market more, and why it is that Microsoft and Activision even have to worry about what other nations have to say. I know they have their own governmental bodies that when they sell their product to them that they have to approve, but it's like, it's their product that gets sold there. So if they were like, why not? What's stopping them from just saying, yeah, you just can't sell us here because we didn't approve this, and then them just doing the merger anyway? I don't understand the whole business like warfare that goes on behind the scenes that can block such a thing in a nation like where neither of these companies are even headquartered.
Yeah, I know. And that's where like Spencer and I were hypothesizing earlier, is like, would it just block Xbox from selling? They're obviously not going to stop doing business in the UK.
It's, well, of course.
Top five probably places besides
Japan, I'm not saying it's like they EU. Would stop, it'd be like the UK would have to block them
because they didn't, if they wanted to go through. But if cloud gaming is really the fear here, which I just don't, that's so silly.
That like, is silly. I do think that that's such like a small,
it's like, not even a real thing margin today. It's like a future product.
Right.
Like, you're blocking like something based on a technology that hasn't proved financially viable yet.
Yeah. Because once it does.
That's like if I bought a company that had a little side project for holograms. And I'm like, you know what? 20 years from now, nobody's going to make phone calls. They're only going to talk in holograms. So now they're not going to let me acquire this company because it would unfairly give me an advantage in
later on
life like holograms. In 100 years, it's like, that's obviously a completely made up extreme example, but like,
no, I get it.
How are you making a decision on a product that doesn't exist and isn't viable? And again, it goes back to them comparing the server cloud infrastructure of Google, Amazon, and Microsoft to gaming cloud infrastructure, which is a streaming technology.
It is weird how we jumped from that, from one thing being like the primary concern to this other.
It's only the UK. Nobody else is talking about this.
It reminds nobody me of, but of them. How Al Capone got busted, and it was for like tax evasion. It wasn't for like murdering people or like running his gang like that. They got him on like a white collar crime.
I mean, I don't want to get red or blue political, but I mean, that's what they're, you know, kind of is happening to Donald Trump. He's got so many lawsuits. It's like, is he going to get for like filing his taxes wrong?
Yeah, it's like what's going to get him? If you throw enough crap at the wall, something's going to stick, you know?
Yeah. And to be fair, not just Donald Trump. If you were able to land enough lawsuits on any billionaire or millionaire.
Oh, like, yeah.
They're all doing some shady stuff.
They're all doing time for sure.
Okay, well, let's move on from there. Just realizing that I didn't put these in any order this week, so whatever is whatever. But number two, Redfall has custom controllers, but not in the way that they usually do custom controllers. So normally in the past, there's been like a big launch, you'd be like, Halo. Halo gets a custom controller. You go to the store, you buy the custom controller, everybody's looks the same. They're trying something new with Redfall. They're doing custom controllers options in the design lab, so you can customize your own Redfall design lab controller. And so they have custom Let's see. I wrote it down here. They have top case designs, which is the front plate, side grips, custom battery door engravings, and then custom color palettes. So basically they have five different options for the front plate. Like one of them is the Bite Back logo with like the vampire teeth. And then one themed after each of the main characters. And then there's custom colors that accentuate those, as well as the engravings on the back and the custom side grips that match. So if you just want to, you could copy their exact designs, and they have five pre-built like designs on the Design Lab website for this, which, what's the URL of that? Let's see if I saved it here. So if you just go to Xbox Design Lab right now, at the top, it'll have Xbox Wireless Controller Redfall Limited Edition, and you can click Design Yours, and it'll give you the options. And then the special ones are, they have one's called Bite Back, one's called Layla, one's called Remy, one called the Vendor, and one called Jacob. So yeah, I was right. They do have one theme for each of the main characters, and then the Bite Back, which is the overall logo for the game. But you could mix and match if you really wanted to. So the reason, oh, and I should say they started at $84.99. So the reason I wanted to bring this up is, remember that leak we saw for a Starfield controller? Do we think that this is the path forward for future custom controllers, where Starfield will be Design Lab customization and they will have a pre-built, like, we designed it to look like this option that you can order, or you could click and customize it and pick which Starfield pieces you want? The only reason I potentially think it might not be is then that makes it really hard for you to put it on store shelves in Target for people to buy for their kid on Christmas if it's only in the Design Lab. Spencer, Gus, any thoughts on custom controllers in general in the market for major game launches?
Dude, I remember when people used to like make their own custom controllers. Like our friend in high school would like spray paint. You know, like take them apart and like spray paint them.
Oh yeah, I see that on Reddit from time to time. People still do it.
Like custom stuff. I was looking at these controllers that they have, like the five on this picture, and I was like, none of these interest me, man.
Well, and I don't like buying things for characters that I don't yet know.
Yeah.
Like, when I play the game, what if I fall in love with a different one than the person that I ordered a controller for?
Some of these are really cool.
Yeah, the one that, the back, the Redfall logo. I like the bluish one, which is Jacob, I think.
Yeah, I like the idea.
It reminds me of, like, kind of like a shield.
I like the idea, especially if it's for a game that I have some attachment to, you know? Kind of making a custom controller out of different parts related to the game. I feel like it won't be the case with Starfield just because it's not like a character-based game necessarily. Because you're creating your character, so it's not like they're going to make random supporting character or controller about them, because like, who cares about this NPC? So I don't know, maybe they will, but it seems like it'd be complicated to do with, if you don't already have like unique kind of characters like Redfall does. So I don't know.
Yeah, there's four separate battery door engravings, by the way. So you can get the Redfall logo, and then there's a couple other options.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. This is
cool. This is an interesting take. This is probably the right game to do it for, because I think Starfield is going to be the go all out approach, where they're going to have maybe a custom console, although probably not. And I'll talk about why in a minute, but you definitely want a custom controller on the shelves for Christmas and the holidays for Starfield, because you'll sell a lot of those.
If it's like the one that we saw get leaked potentially. I'm all over that. That one's dope.
I found my 30th anniversary controller, by the way. It was 25th. In a box with...
anniversary?
My 25th anniversary controller. It was in a box with my 360 games at the bottom of a stack of tubs that I had from moving from a closet when we moved rooms for my kids. I wonder if... I just wonder if when we'll see this again, because this has to be easier to implement because you don't have the logistics of putting it on store shelves all over the world, but you also are going to sell a lot less. So in one way it's a good marketing tool, and in another way it's not, but it is interesting nonetheless. And the reason I say I don't think we're going to get a Starfield console at this point is because So I went to Best Buy twice this weekend and this last weekend, and they now keep all the consoles on a shelf behind the desk at the front. So if you want to buy one, you just take a card up to the front, or you can just go to the, straight to the front desk so you can see what's in stock. And they had every console. They had the God of War bundle for PS5. They had the regular bundle for PS5. They had Switch. They had Switch OLED. They had Xbox Series S. They had Xbox Series S, the special bundles, like the Gilded bundle and maybe one of the other bundles. And they even had some VR headsets. And then there was a giant gaping hole where Series X should be. So I asked a group of employees standing nearby. I said, hey, I noticed you don't have any Series X. Do you ever get them in? And they said, the first person said, we get one or two a month. A month. And then another said, oh, yeah, but you hadn't heard, we did get six in this morning. So
it's tough.
They said they never get them in stock. They said it's been since Christmas they've had shortages.
Sony just keeps
and they
winning.
Said comparatively.
Saying, continue. Yeah, continue.
Listen
Sorry,
to this.
I cut you off before we got to the real W's.
Well, they said at the holidays, they overproduced the Series S, obviously for the holidays as a lower cost console. They got 1,500 Series S in for like either Black Friday or Christmas at one store, 1,500 Series S, and almost no Series X. So whatever the manufacturing issue is that they're having trouble getting a core component that they're not talking about, it is really hurting them. And they were winning in supply. Remember, PlayStation 5 2 years ago, you couldn't find anywhere, and Microsoft was starting to get ahead because their console, they had worked through the shortages faster. So they started to be the one on shelves. And then it completely flipped, and it flipped hard to where now PlayStation is setting an all-time record for the most PlayStations sold in a year, probably this year.
Well,
they're on track for 25 million, I think they said this year.
I was going to say their Q1 was like, 25 million. And like the record is, the record is 28.
I think their goal is 25 million for
the
year.
The Switch at 28 million. The Wii was 26 million. Those are the best ever.
Yeah. And I think the PlayStation best ever record was the PlayStation 2 had a year where it was in the high 20 millions or something. But yeah, I mean, it's irritating because I personally think the Series X is the best console in a lot of ways just because it's slightly more powerful. And I think the PS5 is kind of ugly and really big. But it doesn't matter if you can't buy it. It just doesn't matter.
They're diverting too many chips to the cloud farms. That's the problem. Those Series X's are going to the cloud farms.
I mean, that is a real issue.
Sad.
I wonder how much expansion is happening in that way. But we don't know. Maybe the chip shortage or whatever the shortage is on production, maybe it isn't on the part that's going in the server racks. It could be a different piece. Although I think
I don't know, it's frustrating because it's like Xbox is trying to have their hands in literally every jar, every cookie jar, everything. They're trying to do everything and they're not
except
good at
games.
Any of it. I mean, they're good at some of it, but they're not good enough at all of it. They're not good enough at games.
Yeah.
They
it's
can't
like
make enough consoles. The cloud's fine. The cloud works. I've used it. I'll give them that, but at what cost?
Hang on, though. There's shortages even there because the cloud works and it works good. But remember when they launched the cloud, they said for now it's going to be just Game Pass. But they said in the next year and a half, we're going to open it up to all the games you own. They've never mentioned that again. You can't still go in and play Jedi Survivor because you own it in the cloud. You can only play Game Pass games
true,
in the cloud.
But I mean, yeah, it'd be nice if you could play games you own that aren't on Game Pass in the cloud, but there's probably some sort of back-end agreement they'd have to do with the publisher and all that type of junk.
Yeah, it's that every game has to be installed on some shared drive that all the cloud infrastructure can access, which imagine if they had to have every game on the possible on Xbox in every data center. I don't know how much space that is, but it's got to be a lot. And then it has to be able to be accessed at the same time by multiple servers. Anyway, not my problem. But my point is, like, even with cloud, they made a commitment on something that they didn't fall through on. Or another example, I think their industrial design is fantastic. The cooling solution on the One X and the Series X are both fantastic. And they're very minimalist, simple consoles. But none of that matters if you can't manufacture enough of them for people to buy it.
And when you don't have games, you know, I was so the people most... are like, oh, I don't need to buy it anyway.
Or, yeah, or I mean, to be honest, they are shooting themselves a little in the foot there because you can play most stuff on PC or in the cloud, so you don't really need a console. But I would still argue the console versions of everything are better because, like we saw with Jedi Survivor, the PC ports on stuff is not going well. Most games lately, it just comes out with a terrible PC port. It's like a common, like, running joke in the PC Reddit community and other places, YouTube community. Like, you see a lot of comments about how bad PC ports have been the last, I don't know, 5 or more years. Okay, well, that's my rant about this whole Design Lab stuff. I'm not going to order one of these. I have so many controllers, but
it's
cool.
They do
Starfield
stuff like this, but they can't make
out.
Games. It's like, and they want to spend $70 billion buying Activision when they could have, you know, given 343 $5 billion and say, hey, make a decent Halo game. Here's $5 billion.
Imagine how many studios they could buy that make AAA games that aren't Activision,
or like,
right? Like,
the freaking,
you could buy like Ubisoft plus five other studios.
The stuff that Embracer bought from Square Enix, like that, like for pennies, on
Tomb
the dollar.
Raider and all that. Oh yeah,
so
that
makes me not
want to
play Xbox.
Get.
It makes me want to just be a PC gamer or something.
Another random thing about that, though. So I obviously have been playing my PS5. I hate the UIs for both the PS5 and the Series X. Like,
you mean
everything
the
has
UI
gone
that's
downhill
been the same
and
for
gotten 10
worse, and they won't change it or fix it or do anything new with achievements? I mean, anything.
I mean, Xbox is working on a new one, and I was beta testing it, and they got such negative feedback that they went back to the drawing board because it was not great. In fact, I actually thought it was worse than what we have now, which is pretty bare bones. But the PlayStation 5 one kind of sucks too. Like,
I just want something new.
I hate
like
it.
Back in the 360 days, you'd get a new dashboard every 2 years, and it was cool.
They really need to go back and just do a fresh relaunch just to give it, like, they honestly missed out on that, hey, it's a new console generation, like, look at this shiny new machine thing you get when you boot up a new dashboard. But maybe they saw the tea leaves in that this generation was not a clean cut because of the pandemic and because of the cost of games and because of the economy and all these things that are coalescing in this protracted transition where I forgot that Jedi Survivor was a next gen only game. I honestly thought it was cross gen until looking at reviews and noticed that they only referenced.
You know, what I just thought about
consoles.
Is another hashtag Sony wins again. I just saw something about the Halo show, and I was like, man, the Halo show on one hand or The Last of Us on the other hand.
Well, those two compare, but did you see the trailer for Twisted Metal? Because
I didn't see the trailer, but I saw the poster, and I was like, this looks fake. This looks like somebody made it in like their freshman year of college, like film editing class.
So Anthony Mackie in the 15-second trailer, he breaks the fourth wall, talks to the audience, and then you see I think it was a Subaru driving around with guns. I don't know. It definitely reeks of more the Halo quality than the Last of Us quality. So I hope it's good. I will check it out, but it did not look amazing. It looked like a lower budget thing, but we'll see. Okay, let's move on. Number three, I don't even know where to intro this one. We're getting another Funko game. Funko Fusion was announced. I think they actually announced a Funko game was in development a year ago.
He's got 37 Funko Pops in his apartment.
I was just about to say next.
I own two Funkos. No, three technically with a keychain, and I didn't pay for most of them. They were gifts or whatever. We'll do a quick version on this. So the developers, 1010 Games, they were founded by Traveler's Tales Games veterans. So these are people that previously worked on Lego games. It looks like it might be multiplayer only, like a combat game. And they're using IPs like Jurassic World, Back to the Future, Umbrella Academy, The Thing, Child's Play, and Masters of the Universe. Right now, they updated their timeline to say it's coming in 2024. I don't care. The last Funko game, Gears Funko Pop or whatever it was, Gears Pop, was okay, but it didn't knock my socks off. It was fine, but I didn't really feel like compelled that I wanted to keep playing it. And I get that they're trying to make Funko the new Lego. Like, it's literally the Lego developers that are making this game. But I just don't know, because this one has a weird thing where they're using the Funko license, which is kind of cartoony, where you'd think it'd be good for kids. but then they're using all these rated R like properties where even in the trailer, they like severed somebody's head. So it's like, okay, so it looks kiddy, but it's not really kid friendly. And I think the market of people that collect Funkos is a lot smaller than the crossover of people that would actually want to play multiplayer Funko video game. Any other thoughts from you guys? I know you guys are really excited. Gus, have you pre-ordered your copy of Funko Fusion?
Yes, the ultimate deluxe Funko Poppy edition.
Yeah. Well, it's not available for pre-order if anyone thinks I doesn't realize that I'm completely sarcastic, but yeah, this is not going to be the next Lego. This is not, like, I can tell you right now, this is going to be canceled. I am shocked within it took them this long to make
a Funko game.
I mean, you're right, but like they missed the boat. Like Funko was way more popular
like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah, like it's definitely feels like it's on the decline. Did you guys see in the news?
When I see people with like walls of Funko Pops, I'm like, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean,
like they have zero.
Everybody has a like hobby. You can do whatever you want. But
I get that, but they have zero functional value of any kind.
And take up like a crap ton of space.
They sit there inside of the box. Like you don't even want to take them out.
I mean, but you could say that about any collectible.
They're not even like interesting art styles and cool to collect. They're stupid. I'm saying, if you own Funko Pops, I'm sorry.
Don't
if
listen
you like
to
them,
the show.
I'm sorry, but it's not my thing. Yeah,
Guys are really coming down hard.
Not ever listen to us if you like Funko Pop.
Yeah, I will. Like, and there's so many competitors now. There's like 5 or 10 different companies that do the Funko adjacent, like
just give any Black Series exactly. action figure that's cooler because then you can pose.
Well,
them.
Those are way more expensive.
Like $25. I don't know how much Funko is.
I say Black Series, but Black Series is like not that like it's not what you think by hearing Black Series.
I got a Thor Ragnarok free from Disney for Disney Rewards. They sent me a Funko Thor Ragnarok, and I think I
sent it back and be like, "Can you give me an action figure instead?"
Yeah, and I think that was what I bought at FAO Schwartz when I was in New York. I bought a Spider-Man No Way Home. Spider-Man Funko Pop keychain.
I would rather get a like foam like Hulk hand style Mjolnir if I got anything like Thor related for free. Like I would actually enjoy that. Like if I had like a foam Hulk hand style Mjolnir that I could just like be dumb with.
Well, it should tell you something that I won't even say that, but I did see in the news, did you see that Funko has so much inventory from manufacturing Funkos that they have, I think, like several million, they were going to like write off like $30 million worth of Funkos and just dump them in the landfill just so they don't have to keep paying to store them in warehouses. Like they have so much of their own product they can't sell. I mean, they make everything.
Pretty much anything that has any sort of like pop culture significance has a Funko made of it.
I think even beyond that, they'll like pick some character that appeared in one episode of The Office and didn't speak and was in the background, and they'll be like, yeah, that person gets a Funko Pop. Or they'll be like, Spider-Man's barista. Oh, yep, he gets a Funko Pop.
Be like Joe down the street.
Yeah, I mean, it is like when you go to one of those like street vendors that sells Funko Pops, or you go to like a store, like a comic book store that has a bunch of them, and you walk down and you're like, I've not heard of any of these properties. Like
all of the even remotely cool ones are taken.
Yeah. And then there's just like a whole wall of stuff you've never heard of in your entire life that just looks absolutely
That's like comic
insane.
Book stores are going out of business because all of their wall space is taken up by dumb Funko Pops.
Well, I mean, remember, that was for a while GameStop's strategy. The first half of the store was only collectibles, and they had a whole wall of Funko Pops. They've rolled that back, thankfully. But okay, we're moving on from Funko.
They can't fit it because they're strip mall stores is what GameStop is.
Yeah, I mean, that whole stock thing has revitalized them to some extent, but I still wonder how much they have to live because I was a GameStop faithful. I used to buy all my games at GameStop, and I got a Game
Informer subscription. I was always Best Buy.
Yeah, I converted to Best Buy, and now I'm digital. So there's not even one near me anymore. There's two that are a little bit far away, but not like inconvenient. Like I could go there, but okay. Moving on.
Best Buy fanboy.
So there's one other game I played this week that I didn't talk about because I knew we'd get to it in the news, which is the Games with Gold. This show is coming out on May 1st. So the new Games with Gold is Star Wars Episode 1 Racer, available May 1st to May 31st. And the rest of the month, May 16th to June 15th, it'll be a game called Hoa, H-O-A, which is a $15 game. I don't know what that is. But
is that a homeowners association simulator?
Could be. I don't think so. I think it's more an indie game. But anyway, because the Games with Gold usually go up a day or two early, I actually downloaded Star Wars Episode 1 Racer on Saturday, and I played it. Nostalgia is strong. The gameplay holds up so well. Like, I cannot believe how well it holds up. It plays so well in 2023, and it was an N64 game. So I did a Racer 2, got some achievements. I'm going to keep playing it. It's awesome. It's also really small file size, obviously, because it's N64. So I downloaded it to my Series X and my Series S, and I was playing it in the living room with my kids. It's great. I love it. And it's back.
How did you get that? It says it's available May 1st. That's tomorrow.
Oh, that's what today. I was telling you. Like, the games with gold always go up a day or 2 days early because I don't know if they just are trying to make sure it's available on the day or if it's because New Zealand is ahead of time. But yeah, you can download it right now. That's why I sent you the link. I was like, go ahead and download this. It's great. Also, by the end of the first race, I already had like 5 or 6 achievements. It's just like popping them left and right. So Spencer, if you don't want to get one achievement and not be addicted. But the reason they're giving it away for free is it's part of Star Wars' May the 4th be with you, like extravaganza. I think I retweeted an article on StarWars.com last week. So if you want to find the details of everything Star Wars is doing, you can go find it on my Twitter. But they're giving away Star Wars Rogue Squadron on Amazon Games, I think. Or maybe it's GOG. They're giving it away. I think it's Amazon. It could be GOG or Epic Games. And then they're giving this away on Xbox, and then they've, of course, got the May the 4th Be With You sales across all platforms, and then they're doing a bunch of other giveaways for, like, their mobile games and a bunch of other stuff. So, you know, it's nice to see. I have mixed feelings about this one because we're getting a good game, but to be fair, it's a $15 game that's a re-release of an N64 game from, like, 20 years ago. So it's the first Games with Gold game that I'm actually going to play in like 3 or 4 or 5 years, but I don't really want to give them credit for it because it's also a 15 to 20 year old game that costs $15 if you were going to buy it full price on Xbox One. So Spencer, will you play Episode 1 Racer?
I might check it out. I never played it when I was a kid, so never played it. But I'll check it out.
It holds up. It's good. We'll see. It's good. I recommend it. The only thing that doesn't really hold up is the menus are such a step back from, like, when you're trying to upgrade your pod racer, like, to put new stuff on it. The icons and things look pretty dated. The final piece of news I threw in here, I don't think any of us on this show are actually interested in this series, just from a historical standpoint, but Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon, got a release date. So From Software announced that it's coming August 25th, 2023. Seems notable, but I've never played an Armored Core game, and I really don't have a desire to, but I know a lot of people are interested because in the years since Armored Core 5, they obviously became really well known for Demon's Souls and all the other stuff that they've done since, Elder Scrolls, you know the stuff they do, Bloodborne, Sekiro, I almost said Sekiro. So yeah, that's another game dated for this year. And Redfall comes out this week. Spencer, is it Tuesday or Friday game?
It's May 2nd.
Do you remember offhand?
I think that's Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yep. You're right. I remember now because I tweeted that joke about how their countdown looks like a Stranger Things marketing campaign they did over the weekend, 3 days remaining or whatever. So it's really strange because we had Minecraft Legends, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, and Redfall all basically releasing a week apart or 2 weeks apart. And two of those are Microsoft games. So, like, you couldn't get your ducks in a row to not release two games 2 weeks apart. Like, you couldn't space that out better. And then also, like, you want to release this, your first big exclusive from a Bethesda studio not including Hi-Fi Rush, because that didn't have a marketing push. It was a surprise drop. But this is like your first big like marketing push game, and you want to release it right after a Star Wars game, a multi-platform Star Wars game that's going to take all the attention. Like, I just feel like there's a lot of decisions that were made with Redfall that I'm like, why? Why did I just want to know what the rationale was? Why didn't you delay it to get a 60 FPS mode? Why didn't you delay it to get away from Star Wars? Why didn't you delay it or move something around so it didn't release so close to Star Wars and Minecraft? I'm sure there's something we don't know, because in June we're going to get announcements for E3 that maybe will affect retroactively how we feel about this. But I feel like this is going to be rough, and then not having a 60 FPS mode is a canary in a coal mine for this game coming out and being buggy and not running well at 30 FPS and needing multiple patches before it runs super well. I probably won't get to it for a while because I'll be playing Jedi Survivor, but that's my rant.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat. I won't be playing it for a while. And it's probably going to struggle, but here we are. Like you said, there's probably something we don't know in the background.
I want to go back to this podcast, or I guess it'll be the last one, when we finally get a 60 FPS mode, to look back and say, how long did it actually take from release to 60 FPS? And even then, like, you know, Digital Foundry will certainly do a report on it. Did it actually even hit a solid 60? So, okay. Well, final thoughts from the gang. Gus, you have to get up at 3:30. Any final thoughts?
No, not really. This is, I feel like this week was like, other than the
UK
Activision Blizzard thing, was pretty whatever.
Yeah. I feel like this next week, unless we get some major news, is also set to be kind of a quiet week. I will say I'm not going to play a ton of Redfall or really start it in earnest while I have Jedi Survivor going on, but I might play an hour or two this week just so we can talk about it on the show next week and see what state it's in. Because I really do want to just see what the 30 FPS is in and what that plays like, but I'm not going to do it more than an hour just to get a taste for it, because I'm not going to play the game probably for a while. But that's where it sits. Spencer, anything from you?
Oh, thoughts? No.
What's your next game after finishing up Hogwarts Legacy?
Kate asked
where are you
me
going
that.
Next?
And I was like, I don't know. I haven't decided. I don't really want to play Jedi Survivor right now. This doesn't sound fun. I just did a lot of open world, third person action. So,
well, it's technically not
semi-open world.
It's not even technically. No, it's not even. Okay, I guess once you get to some of the later
ones.
Like,
it's like Tomb Raider.
Yeah, it's hub and spoke is what I call it.
Still, I don't know. We'll see.
No, I'm with you. After, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm out on the game after what I've heard, but I think I'll probably wait for a little bit.
Yeah, Digital Foundry did.
I
just want to
check out
their
that Minecraft game that you were telling me about.
Yeah, get that and download Star Wars Racer, because it's pretty good. I forget if that game has co-op, Gus, in the campaign. If it does, like, you might be able to join in on my
that'd be sick
thing. But you and I have the same problem we always have, which is getting our schedules to line up to where we can actually play together.
Well, I'm off on Thursdays now because I am done with my third year of school.
Thursdays. So. When Thursdays might work. Thursdays might work. It would have to be in the evening after my kids go to bed, but we can talk about that off the show. So I'll wrap it there. Thanks for listening, everyone. We will be back with you next week. Please share our show with a friend. We're a small show. We don't run ads. Do something nice. If you like to talk about Xbox,
write us on Twitter. Get us big enough so we can run ads.
Well, it would be nice to
make money, and we'll shill out for large corporations and never take feedback from you all.
I want to do, like, honestly, the reason I want ads is I want to do fun ad reads. Like, I just want to, like, make the most zany ads.
Raid Shadow Legends is supported this episode.
I love Manscaped.
Hey, don't give them the ads for free, Gus. We didn't get paid for that. Don't give it to them for free.
This week's episode sponsored by World of Warships Legends, as is every episode.
Spencer, didn't Manscaped already reach out to us, though?
Yes.
And I told them no. I'm pretty sure they did. Yeah,
nothing against Manscaped, but like the deal that they wanted to give us was like just simply didn't really make sense.
Yeah, well, and that's, I mean, for people that don't haven't done a podcast of any size, when you're smaller, your first deals that you get offered from these companies are pretty,
they're like nothing.
Pretty like
they're nothing burgers, Tim. You can
let's put it this way. There was no financial compensation in the package. They want to pay you in product until you prove yourself, which is I understand it's in their benefit, right? They don't, if you're not going to help them get sales, they don't want to spend money on you, but
we're all men. We all got to shave.
I mean, the thing is though, I didn't want to agree. Like, I don't want them sending me a bunch of Manscaped product and then I have to do ad reads for them for like, years. It's when so all I got paid was a couple razors and some razor cream. Like,
yeah,
of course, here I am talking about them anyway. So
anytime we talk about anything, they get free publicity. So
I know that
like whoever it is we're talking about,
but we also get
stuff we hate.
We've gotten some hilarious, offers for ads that like I'm just embarrassed to run, like nutritional products that are just like humiliating or snake oil for sure.
Until we get G Fuel, we're nothing.
Look, there's a few brands that I would probably advertise for next to nothing, and so those can come crawling, but
yeah.
Otherwise, you gotta pay. Henry Cavill, you got my number.
Yeah, Henry Cavill. We would honestly pay him to come on. I don't know how much we would pay him, but we would.
I've heard some actors.
I'd pay him in compliments.
I've heard some actors get paid upwards of like $200,000 just to do like a VO session for voiceover.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not sure a podcast appearance wouldn't
unless,
be
unless Henry
five
Cavill
figures.
Was like a big fan of this show. Like, we would not be getting him on here.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, he's going to do shows that like his publicist thinks is going to help him reach.
Yeah,
a
he's
going to
be on like Good Morning America and whatnot, not Multiform and Xbox podcast. Maybe if we were like a Warhammer podcast.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But
yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't know if we were going to, I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole any further. Anyway, thanks for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at Tim Shelton or me on Twitter at Tim Shelton, or you can get all the podcast handles and stuff on multiformpodcast.com.
And I'm Spencer Rain. You can follow me on Twitter at Makes It Rain.
And then I'm Gus Harden. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or if your name is Henry Cavill, you can at me at Multiform Pod.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at Multiform Pod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.